From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
Voice listener, here is the news. First, the headlines. Minister Abdul Halim said regional development accelerated towards golden Indonesia. Minister Zulkifli Hasan seeks Australia's support for Indonesia's accession to OECD. And National Library wraps up TPBIS program with Colombo Plan countries. And now the news in details. Minister of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration, Abdul Halim Iskandar, highlighted the importance of accelerating regional development to prepare for Golden Indonesia 2045. The government takes various steps to upgrade underdeveloped villages, including by increasing the quality of human resources. This was conveyed by Minister Iskandar during commemoration of Regional Development Acceleration Day on Friday evening, as reported by Antara. He further explained that the government will expedite the construction of Wi-Fi network infrastructure so that underdeveloped villages can access internet better. The second news. Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan discussed Australia's support regarding Indonesia's candidacy as Organization for Economic Trade and Tourism Minister, Don Farrell, in San Francisco on Wednesday. He expressed his gratitude for Australia's positive response to Indonesia's candidacy as a full member of the OECD. He also asked Australia to support Indonesia so that it can become a full member of the OECD. This was explained by Minister Zulkifli Hasan in a written statement from the Trade Ministry in Jakarta on Friday. The minister echoed Indonesia's hope that the OECD membership would be more inclusive, though greater involvement for developing countries. The third news. The National Library, or Perpusnas, on Friday wrapped up its program for sharing good practices in social inclusion-based library transformation with Colombo Plan countries, which sought to create inclusive libraries and improve community welfare. The TPBIS program was conducted in Jakarta from November 13 to 17, 2023, and involved 8 participants from 6 Colombo Plan countries: Laos, Malaysia, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, and Myanmar. 10 participants representing Indonesia provinces, districts, and cities also took part in the program. Chief Secretary of National Library, Ofi Sofiana, explained on Friday that participations from various countries explored strategies and TPBIS programs through visits and exploration during the events. The fourth news. Minister of Defense Prabowo Subianto stated that currently Indonesia has no plan to withdraw its military forces developed in a UN peacekeeping mission in Lebanon. The information was relayed during a press conference after the 17th ASEAN Defense Minister meeting and the 10th ASEAN Defense Minister meeting plus 2023. As quoted by Tempo.com, the ASEAN Forum discussed several security and defense issues, including geopolitical dynamics and defense agreement in ASEAN. All state members' defense ministers attended the forum with exception of Myanmar. Minister Prabowo also remarked that the Indonesian peacekeeping force will remain in Lebanon as long as Israel's aggression to Gaza continues. The fifth news. The Agriculture Ministry affirmed that it is focusing on increasing the production of national strategic commodities to reduce imports due to El Nino phenomenon. This was stated by Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman in his statement received in Jakarta on Saturday. He also said that the acceleration program is the right solution in suppressing imports due to El Nino that disrupts crop harvests. He added that the boost in production of national strategic commodities also aims to achieve self-sufficiency in meeting food needs. Minister Andi Amran emphasized that the planting acceleration policy is very important in reducing imports carried out due to impact of El Nino. Today, his side lays the foundation so that Indonesia can be self-sufficient in the future. Day 6 News. Palestinians in Gaza, whose rights for years have been comprehensively restricted, are now enduring a bombardment of an intensity rarely experienced in this century, as well as ongoing urban warfare. As reported by ArabNews.com, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Volker Turk, the High Commissioners for Human Rights added that one in every 57 people living in Gaza Strip has been killed or wounded in the past 5 weeks. Speaking during a meeting of the General Assembly requested by the UN's Arab Group and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation to discuss the humanitarian situation in Gaza, he said, "The levels of distress are unimaginable. The situation is a living nightmare." And the final news. Finland has closed 4 of its border crossings with Russia to try to halt a surge in asylum seekers it says was instigated by Moscow. Helsinki accused its neighbor of channeling migrants to the crossing in retaliation for it joining NATO. As reported by Channel Newa, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov stated Finland was making a big mistake and destroying bilateral relations. Around 300 asylum seekers have arrived in Finland this week. According to Border Guard, the Finnish Border Guard said barriers would be put up from midnight on Friday at the Falima, Nuijama, Imatra, and Nirala border post in southeast Finland. These points have seen a surge in illegal crossings by citizens of countries including Syria, Yemen, and Iraq. And that was the news.
Oh, first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Bandung, West Java Province. The Language Development and Cultivation Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology held the 2023 Tunas Bahasa or Mother Tongue Language Festival for West Java and Banten provinces elementary and middle school level from November the 13th until 16th. Head of the language agency, I. Aminuddin Aziz, hopes that the festival can educate the younger generation and the general public that regional languages are great. The participants were representatives of elementary and middle school students from 27 districts or cities in West Java and 2 districts from Banten province. Meanwhile, there are 23 judges who are experts, practitioners, and academics in the field of West Java and Banten mother tongue, which is Sundanese language, and literature, who provide objective assessments. The next news comes from West Pasaman District, West Sumatra Province. Nagari Sinurui in West Pasaman Regency, West Sumatra, received the Stunting Free Village Award in the Specific Intervention category from the National Population and Family Planning Agency because of the Suds Padi or Nut Milk Egg and Rice Innovation Program. Head of the Nagari Community Empowerment Service, Randy Hendrawan, at Simpang 4 Wednesday said the innovation is assisted through the SIGESIT stunting application to view data on stunted children in real time. Human development cadres have an important role in assisting the government and Nagari communities to facilitate stunting prevention. Meanwhile, head of the National Population and Family Planning Agency, Hasto Wardoyo, explained that SUSPADI program, which originates from Nagari Sinurui, is in the form of providing egg and peanut milk to stunted toddlers who are in the poor category. The stunting rate of the Nagari Sinurui through the Nagari stunting application is now around 13%. The figure is in accordance with the central government direction, which is below 14%. The latest news comes from Jakarta. The Jakarta Culture and Service Office stated that excavation at the owner's island site Seribu Islands, which had been stopped for decades, are currently being continued by an archaeological team to look for confirmation of traces of colonial history left in the area. Head of the archaeological excavation team, Chandrian Atahiat, on Onrus Island, Jakarta, Wednesday said that the archaeological excavation activities were carried out for 14 days starting from November the 8th until 22nd. Onrus Island is one of the historic islands in the Seribu Islands group, which was designated as a cultural heritage area in 2015. During the colonial era, the role of Onrus Island expanded from a dockyard and a warehouse for storing export commodities to a maritime defense base in the waters north of Batavia. Remains of a defensive fort built in 1656 can still be seen on Onrus Island. Historically, the fort was dismantled by colonial troops because they were going to build a larger fort in stages starting in 1671. This large fort was depicted on a 1744 map made by J.W. Haight in the form of a pentagon with a bastions at each corner. That was news from across Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event on November 18, 1912 about the founding of Muhammadiyah. One of the largest Islamic religious-based organizations in Indonesia, Muhammadiyah, was founded on November 18, 1912. It was established by Kiai Haji Ahmad Dahlan in Kauman Village, Yogyakarta Special Region. The name of this organization is taken from the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quoting muhammadiyah.or.id, the word Muhammadiyah literally means followers of the Prophet Muhammad. The use of the word is intended to attribute to the teachings and traces of the struggle of the Prophet Muhammad. In its formation, Muhammadiyah reflects many of the teachings of the Islamic religion containing in the Holy Book of Al-Quran. Muhammadiyah movement is characterized by the spirit of building a social order and education for a more advanced and educated society. They show that Islamic teachings are not just a personal and static religion, but are dynamic and exist as a system of human life in all aspects. Let's move to another event of the end of Allied and German fighting in 1916. The Battle of Somme was a war between Germany and France, England, which took place from July 1st to November 18, 1916. The battle, which happened in the Somme, France, was one of the largest trench battles during the First World War. In the First World War, trench warfare has famous, in which troops took cover in trenches to wait for the enemy or simply defend their territory. When the war ended on November 18, 1916, around 3 million troops were sent into battle. About 1.7 million troops died. The Battle of the Somme was also recorded as the bloodiest battle of the First World War, killing 19,000 British troops on the first day alone. We end today in history with the event of Latvia's independence from Russia in 1918. The Republic of Latvia on November 18, 1918 officially announced that it had become independent from the Russian Empire. The independence was recognized on January 26, 1921. Unfortunately, on August 5, 1940, the territory of Latvia was occupied by the Soviet Union. Then on July 10, 1941, it was occupied by Nazi Germany. Afterwards, in 1944, it was again controlled by the Soviets. Finally, Latvia regained independence on May 4, 1990. Then the independence was restored on August 21, 1991. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Ada yang lain sepertimu. pesonakan aku selalu. Hanya kamu yang bisa membuat aku jadi tergila-gila, membuat aku jatuh cinta, karena tak ada yang lain sepertimu. Berkali ku mencoba berpaling dengan makhluk indah lainnya, namun tak perlu merasakan bila seindah bercinta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesian Minister of Trade holds meetings with a number of partner country ministers. Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan held bilateral meetings with a number of partner countries, namely the United States, Australia, and Canada, on the sidelines of the 2023 Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC, summit in San Francisco, United States, which took place from November 11 to 17, 2023. Quoting Antara News Agency in the meeting with the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs for Economic Growth, Energy, and Environment of the United States, Jose W. Fernandez, on Wednesday, Zulkifli Hasan agreed to follow up on all agreements with the United States, one of which was to work together in overcoming deforestation. Regarding this collaboration, Jose Fernandez highlighted the issue of deforestation related to nickel mining. He said the U.S. would work together with the community regarding environmental standards in accordance with state regulation to overcome the issue of deforestation. Previously, Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan also met up with the Australian Minister of Trade and Tourism, Senator Don Farrell, on Wednesday. Zulkifli Hasan appreciated Australia's positive response to Indonesia's nomination as a full member of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. Zulkifli Hasan said Indonesia views OECD membership as being more inclusive by involving more developing countries. Meanwhile, Australian Trade Minister Don Farrell said that Australia hopes to cooperate more with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN member countries, especially Indonesia, and welcomes bilateral cooperation related to trade in service and critical minerals. On the same day, Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan also held a bilateral meeting with Canadian Minister for Export Promotion, International Trade and Economic Development, Mary Ng. The meeting was held on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Ministerial Meeting, or APEC-EMM. Indonesia and Canada agreed on the target of completing the Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement by the end of 2024 to further increase trade between the two countries. They also discussed the ASEAN-Canada Free Trade Agreement. The two countries are of the same opinion to push for the completion target of the agreement in 2025. That was My Indonesia Today.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Tanding Cave, which is located in Gunung Kidul, Central Java, can be said to be the most beautiful cave compared to other caves in the surrounding areas. The origin of the name of the cave, which is located in Gelaran Dua Hamlet, Beji Harjo Village, Karangmojo Subdistrict, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta, comes from the name Harto Tanding, the owner of the well which was right above the cave and accidentally penetrated the roof of this cave. The Tanding Cave tourism attraction was inaugurated in early 2016. Listener, visitors will see rows of exotic stalactites and stalagmites hanging from the roof of the cave when they are taken along the underground river with a depth of 4 meters, a height of 5 to 16 meters in the Tanding Cave tourism attraction. Then the cave width is 4 to 8 meters, with 4 to 11 meters high and length of 450 meters, with a trekking time from 1.5 hours to 2 hours. To see the beautiful and sparkling crystals of stalactites and stalagmites that are still active, visitors can use a flashlight to shine at the stalactites and stalagmites. And the size of the Tanding Cave is quite large and the cave roof is high, making the oxygen content in this cave very sufficient so that visitors can still breathe freely without breathing aids. Listener, to enjoy the beautiful view of this cave tour in Gunung Kidul, you need to pay around 115,000 rupiah for local tourists and 200,000 rupiah for foreign tourists. It may feel a little expensive, but you are guaranteed not to regret it when you see the beauty of the Karst walls that sparkle with exotic gold. This tour package includes the use of the rubber boat for a maximum of 4 people, life jackets, insurance, tour guide, snacks, luggage storage, security, and a place to rest in the gazebo. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. For those of you who have the opportunity to visit Yogyakarta, please take your time to visit the Tanding Cave tourism attraction in Gunung Kidul. Here you can try rafting in the cave and witness the amazing view of the underground cave. We'll meet you again tomorrow. Bye-bye. I am Ahmad Faisal.
You have that.
listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, today's miscellany informs you about North Sulawesi that will host Minahasa Wakefest 2023, which will take place on November 24 to the 26, 2023. Regarding this event, the Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, in Jakarta on Monday said, this event presents a new version of water skiing, namely wake surf and wakeboard on Lake Tondano, which is famous for its panoramic beauty. This year's Minahasa Wakefest carries the theme Lake Tondano, home for everyone.
Jadi ini versi kekiniannya dari ski air. Nah, Wakefest ini.
So this is the modern version of water skiing. Well, this Wakefest will be held in Minahasa, Danau Tondano, on November 24 to the 26th, and it carries the theme Lake Tondano, home for everyone. Although not as popular as other water sports, wakeboard and wake surf, according to the chair of the organizing committee, Rio Dondo Kambe, have been popular in Indonesia for more than 20 years. In fact, Indonesia has athletes in this sport. There are several differences between wakeboard and wake surf. Wakeboarding is a combination of water skiing, snowboarding, and surfing. Meanwhile, wake surf is a water sport where the rider rides a surf. When starting, the rider holds on to a rope tied to the boat. Once the surfboard is up on the surface of the water, the rider must let go of the rope and be free to surf. There are several categories that will be competed in. In the wakeboard sport, there are categories for junior boys and girls under 14, novice men and women, intermediate men and women, advanced men and women, masters men and women, and open men women. In the wake surf sport, there are categories for junior boys and girls under 14, novice men and women, intermediate men and women, and open men and women. Minahasa Wakefest 2023 will be attended by 7 countries, namely China, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Japan, Singapore, Taiwan, and Thailand. The committee noted that 84 foreign athletes had registered. Not only competitions, the North Sulawesi Provincial Government and Minahasa Regency Government have also prepared side events as a forum to promote Minahasa society and culture. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dalam benakku lama tertanam sejuta bayang. Redup terasa cahaya hati mengingat apa yang telah kau berikan. Yeah.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Dinda Bestari by Paksi Band. The song created by RBY Suprono and RM Sunandar was popularized by Toto Salmon, Mus Mulyadi, and Rama Aibhama. The song tells about a man's longing for his lover whom he has not seen for a long time. His duties as a soldier defending his country requires him to be separated from his beloved one. Remembering the good times together, the man could only daydream about a love story with his lover. Well, listener, here is Paksi Band with the song Dinda Bestari. Happy listening.
Karena sedang melihat negara.
Voice of Indonesia.
Laju-laju perahu laju,
jiwa manis indung di sayang,
indung sayang. Lajunya ada senyum manis ke Surabaya.
Jiwa manis indung di sayang,
indung sayang. Janganlah lupa senyum manis pada saya. Flight machine,
hey!
Kapal udara,
hey!
Bangun mendusin, dengar suara.
Jiwa manis indung di sayang,
indung sayang. En anjelir, schat, senyum manis is een mooie plant. Door regen,
hey!
Worden kleren nat,
hey!
Wees niet verlegen, jij bent toch mijn schat. Schat, mijn hart die verlangt.
Jiwa manis indung di sayang,
indung sayang. Een lekker kusje, o mijn liefling, op mijn zachte wang. Auto Fiat,
hey!
Mobiel tambangan,
hey!
Bole dilihat,
hey, hey!
Die ambil jangan.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.